Our journey continues now with a trip into the global south. Ryan Whitney is an urban sustainability planner and current PhD student in the planning department of geography, in the Department of Geography and Planning at U of T. Ryan has 8 years of experience working on policy developments to support the planning of cities that are safe and accessible for pedestrians and cyclists. His current research focuses on the uptake of urban sustainability, best practices in the context of equitable urban development in Latin America, with a special focus on Mexico and Colombia. He has an MSc in Geography, Urban, and Environmental Studies. Let's all welcome Ryan.
Hi everyone, I'm Ryan. Thanks for having me, I'm very excited to be here. So my presentation is taking a little bit of a different turn. The personality that's coming out in it, or kind of the person in it, it very much is the city. I think that cities have personalities, they have different intersections of personalities, they have different experiences. So what I'm trying to do here is kind of weave together the story of the bicycle in one of the world's largest cities. And there's an interesting story here. A little bit of background about myself. I grew up in Northern Ontario, actually. And I guess my first interest in using a bike was that I didn't like to drive. And I wasn't very good at it either. I crashed several times. And I did it 3 times, actually, before I decided that this isn't my thing. I don't like to be in big, fast-moving boxes of metal. So I started to walk, and I started to cycle, and I started to take transit everywhere. So I'm originally from a place called Kaministiquia, which is about an hour outside of Thunder Bay. Then I moved into the city of Thunder Bay, where I could walk around a little bit more. But I think my inspiration really came from spaces that weren't designed for people. And what does that mean for how we get around the city? So we're moving to a little bit of a different context now. The city I'm going to talk about is one of the largest in the world. It's one of the fastest growing in the world. It's a city that deals with major mobility issues. It's a city of about 22 million people in the greater area. Any ideas? Mexico City. Yeah, exactly. Has anybody been to Mexico City? Yeah? Okay. We have lots of people. So Mexico City is going through a bit of a bike revolution. I don't know if revolution is the right word, but it's going through a lot of experimentation with bicycles, and it's very representative of cities that are experimenting with the bicycle across the global south in a larger kind of quantity. This is a photo of air pollution in Mexico City. So in 1992, the UN declared Mexico City the most polluted city in the world. In part, that was due to air pollution from cars. Not entirely. It was also due to industry. And there were the city government and people demanded that the city change its planning practices. So they put in a lot of different initiatives, one of which heavily focused on mobility. This is only one of many issues. Since then, the air has cleaned up significantly. However, this was from 2016. In 2016, in April, the city specifically went through probably the bout of worst air pollution it's had in 15 years. So this is kind of the context that I wanted to kind of situate the personality and the kind of need for mobility in the city. And to talk a little bit about what that means. So the city also has a lot of traffic, as probably a lot of you know. It's probably, by a number of different measurements, it's one of the most congested in the world. So in terms of kind of using a car is really difficult. It's really hard. It's really difficult to get around. Only about 20% of the population in Mexico City drives, but 20% of a region of 22 million people is a lot of people. So what happens is that it's really at a point where there's not really an option to kind of have more mobility option, to have more mobility for cars. There are highways that are being produced. There's more investment going into automobile infrastructure, but there's this increasing kind of understanding that going in this direction is creating an environmental and a social chaos for the city. So this is kind of where it situates. So within that, we have a lot of new... We hopefully have a lot of new things. Okay. We have a lot of new experimentation with cycling infrastructure. It's quite inspiring to see what the city has achieved in such a short period of time. So we have a ciclovia here in the bottom corner. In Mexico City, it's called Muévete en Bici, which is Move by Bike. And it was originally inspired by other cities in the global south, by Bogota specifically. We have one in Toronto sometimes. In the Anglo-Saxon world, it's often called... Open streets. Thanks, everybody. Open streets. So it's really, really big in Mexico City. About 35,000 people go out every Sunday. There's been a maximum of 75,000 people. So it's a very, very successful event. It has one of the largest bike sharing systems in the Americas now. Very successful by a lot of measures. For example, I think the stat is on average, every bicycle is used 5 times per day. So it's really taking context in this kind of very, very large space. Addition from this, there's a lot of other things that the city's doing. They're doing a lot of climate change policy. They're doing green roofs. They're doing investments in public transit. They're doing pedestrian streets. So this isn't happening in isolation. Bicycles are just kind of one strategy. So here's an example of some of the infrastructure that we're looking at. We have painted on-road infrastructure. We have segregated. We have a little bit of everything. It's a mixed bucket. But something that's really important about what I want to talk about in the context of Mexico City is Mexico City is becoming very cool. It's becoming very trendy. And this has happened, I'd say, over the past 10 years, really, really kind of bubbling over in the past five. So in 2016, the New York Times named it the number one travel destination in the world. We have a lot of blogs comparing it to Berlin, the creativity that was happening in Berlin in, say, the 90s, the late 90s, a lot of comparison to New York City in the 80s. So kind of, there's a lot of creative types that are moving all around the world to go to Mexico City currently. Very much positioning my positionality in it. I've lived for 4 years in Mexico City now. I very much represent that as well. So very much I'm positioned in this world. But one thing that's interesting about it is the bicycle and sustainability are very much becoming packaged and sold as part of this kind of global establishment of the city. It's very much part of the city's identity, and it's very much being used as a way to attract a certain type of person, which really kind of comes into interesting questions of who are we planning for? What does the bicycle mean? How can we connect the bicycle back to sustainability for all? So walking around some of kind of the neighborhoods in Mexico City, this is in a neighborhood called Condesa. This is in a neighborhood called San Miguel Chichicultepec. This is a rendering of what kind of new public spaces can look like. Here we have kind of bamboo bicycles. Here we have a cafe that provides parking for bicycles. So it's very much being integrated into the fabric of the city like it hasn't been previously. And again, this is all over approximately the past 10 years. We even have corporations now. So we have Absolut Vodka. This actually isn't from Mexico City. This is from the second largest city in Mexico called Guadalajara. But this also exists in Mexico City. I was just back a few weeks ago. The same ad exists. So really kind of selling this idea, you know, bikes are progressive, it means something, riding a bike, you're taking a stance against something. So this very much is kind of growing into the larger thing, larger kind of dialogue of Mexico City. But then, of course, outside of that, we have a city that's so large, a city of 22 million people. How can we really plan for the needs of everybody in the city, especially a city that is so economically divided and a city that has such a history of colonialization and a city that has so much gaps between rich and poor? So really what we're seeing is we're seeing kind of very much bohemian urbanism happening in Mexico City and the bicycle being positioned as a sustainable alternative, which it's, like I said, it has had a lot of successes and it continues to do that, but very much being packaged and sold within very specific areas of the city. So here we have kind of the daily experience of many cyclists. And something I would like to talk about too is that Mexico City, a lot of the unplanned settlements or a lot of the poorer neighborhoods as you go away from certain areas of the city are still very dense. So they're very, very, very dense spaces. They're very walkable. There's actually a lot of cyclists in them already that are using it to sell informal goods or are using to travel between different spaces. So it's not necessarily that cycling doesn't exist, it's that where infrastructure is being prioritized. So this, for many people, is very much the reality still of riding a bike in Mexico City, and it involves a lot of going between traffic very, very quickly and very strategically, as you could imagine. The good thing about it is it's often safe, more or less, because the traffic's not really moving. So you can get around, you can find your way through, right? Especially during rush hour, nobody's going anywhere quickly. So again, we also have, some infrastructure. So here's actually a bike lane. I'm a part of it. And so we have a lot of experimentation with different bike lanes, but like also being used as public spaces, right? So there's this whole issue of how do different cultures and different people and different experiences in the city view space? How do they use space? Is a bike lane even appropriate? So we have a lot of different uses of the bike lane space, and then of course the cyclists kind of push back off onto the side in traffic. And then this is actually in a wealthier neighborhood close to the historical center, but we have a lot of investments in new pedestrian infrastructure and kind of new New York-style pocket parks here taking space away from cars, but not necessarily kind of considering kind of the needs of cyclists within this hierarchy. So we have a lot of kind of planning that's really starting to pick apart the power of the bicycle, the power that the bicycle can be to kind of position equitable development, can make cities more sustainable, can reduce carbon footprints. But it's happening in a context that's very complex, that's becoming global very, very quickly, that's attracting global capital. So really, what does that mean for the bicycle? What does it mean for bicycle planning? How can we actually make bicycle planning more sustainable, and what does that mean for equity? And these are questions that we're dealing a lot with in Toronto, we're dealing with it in cities globally, but specifically as the bicycle becomes integrated in kind of a more Western planning framework in some of the biggest global cities in the South, I think that these are something that that we need to remember as planners. So to leave it off, I'm the cyclist in Mexico City, I cycle everywhere. Of course, I generally live in the center areas, and so I ride my bike, and it's been quite a wonderful way to experience such a large, vibrant city. So again, often going off into the traffic, I weave through it when I need to, I find bike lanes when I can, but it's really quite a wonderful way to explore the city, and something that's unexpected. Something I think when people think of Mexico City, they think of a big, large, chaotic city, which it very much is, but it's also very intimate, it's also very small in certain neighborhoods, and it's also very wonderful to explore on a bike, and you can find spaces and parks and interact with people in ways that you couldn't when you're in a car stuck in traffic. So really, it provides so many wonderful examples, but moving forward, I think we need to think about what the bicycle means as a tool of sustainability and justice for different citizens. So that concludes it, and I'll open up for questions.
We have time for just one question for Ryan.
Yep.
Well, it's a common question. So I actually lived in Mexico City for 3 years, from 2008 to 2011, and I cycled there.
Great.
And it was, in Roma, South Carolina. But so I guess it was really inspirational to see when I first moved there, nobody cycled at all. And then when I, you know, they started to put in bike share and bike lanes, and the city really changed within the span of the 3 years I lived there, which is really amazing. I guess my question for you is, are you, just in terms of, I guess, the class base of it. So now, before, the only cyclists were kind of lower class delivery boys, and now it's kind of upper class hipsters. And how is cycling being spread now to the middle class and lower class individuals, and is bike shares, you know, spreading to the other parts of the city that are not just for the center wealthy?
Yeah, so bike share has expanded a little bit to the south, to Devalle, so it's expanded there. In terms of how it's expanding to different areas of the city, I don't think it is yet. I think it's still very much the infrastructure is being focused on these areas, but I think that there is increasing awareness and increasing activism around the fact that there are cyclists in all these different spaces that are from very different backgrounds and have very different needs. So I think what's happening now, there's greater conversations or greater awareness about infrastructure investments perhaps in areas outside of the bubble, and what that means for kind of providing cycling visibility to those who perhaps are poor or not professional or not kind of in the same sort of demographic. So there's increasing discussions around that. There's not a lot of action. There's not a lot of infrastructure, but I'm hopeful in the sense that these conversations are happening more than they were perhaps in 2008. Definitely, I see that happening more in my years working in Mexico City, that there's more awareness. Will that awareness translate to action? I think that we have yet to see. And I think that that's a really valuable question, because this is a question that all cities are dealing with, and specifically cities in Latin America are looking to Mexico City to kind of start to unpack these questions. So I think it's an exciting moment. There's not one answer, but I think it's moving in a good direction.
All right. Thanks again, Ryan.